Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us once again on Lit Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Thea. For this episode, I'll be speaking with Dimas Jimeno and Luis Wara about their new book, Retail Reset. Dimas Jimeno is the former CEO of El Corte Inglés. Today he is executive president of WOW, a new retail and lifestyle concept recently opened in Madrid. Luis Wara is the managing partner of Retalent, a growth strategy consultancy. They are both based in Madrid, Spain. In their book, Retail Reset, the two leading figures from retail explain how the structural changes taking place today will affect each retail channel. They explore strategies to promote the rebirth of the retail sector and the companies that operate within it. The reset is based on enhancing the emotional connections with consumers through memorable content and experiences so that stores will surprise again. Moreover, it rests on integrating the physical and digital so that shopping, whether online or offline, becomes a connected and singular experience. Thank you very much, Dimas and Luis, for joining us today on the Lit Radio podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your new book, Retail Reset, and all of the fascinating topics that you cover in it. But firstly, could you tell us why you decided to write the book? Dimas, let's begin with you.
Okay. Well, both of us have a retail background, and we felt the need to write a book based on our experience about the present and future of retail. There are not many books about the transformations of retail and what such an important industry must do. Retail and direct-to-consumer represents the biggest workforce in almost every country. For example, around 20% of US employees, or approximately 31 million people, work in retail and hospitality sector.
And we also believe that the best way to convey our message to the retail industry and to the business community in general was to write a book. And we bring a message of hope, a positive message. We do not believe in retail apocalypse, as we say in the book, but in a retail renaissance. And it took months of meetings between Dimas and myself and writing to make sure the book can be read at the same time by someone who works in the retail industry and by someone who doesn't, but is interested in how distribution works and the main shifts that are taking place.
Absolutely. And then I have the book in front of me now, and the subtitle, one of the subtitles says the end of retail as we know it. So why do you think the retail as we know it is coming to an end?
Well, we say that retail, as we know it, is coming to an end because the value equation of the consumers has changed completely as we have experienced since the pandemic. We cannot longer use old formulas and concepts that has worked so well in the industry for years and years. And we say this because we are seeing so many companies that are closing down shops because they didn't do the necessary upgrades.
And it's also very clear that there's been so many changes in the market in the last decade and lately with the pandemic and post-pandemic that we really think that retail reset is needed. Let me just give an example. It's like when a computer or gadget is not working properly, maybe you need to press the reset button. And this is what we're really proposing with book.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I just want to go over some of the topics that we cover in the book. And then the first part of the book discusses the four waves of change in retail. So let's go briefly through all of them and start with globalization. So Dimas, what can you say? What can you tell us about that?
Well, we think that the origin of all that is happening in retail and in business in general, because it's also affecting other sectors, we can call it or try to summarize it in four waves of change that they all affected all the economy and all the different sectors. One is globalization. The other one is digitalization. Then also socialization. And finally, sustainability. Since in the 90s, these four shifts are affecting everything we do. These waves are building up and changing all at the time, reinforcing each other.
Yeah. Man, actually, the first wave to appear in the 90s was globalization. Actually, I was working for Inditex at the time, and I could see that globalization accelerated the international flow of goods, services, companies, and competitive prices. So you could see companies traveling and opening in other countries. And this globalization caused uncertainty, because any brand or retail concept from whatever country could come to our country and take our market away from us. That's affecting the competitive position of traditional companies. So with globalization, we can say that our competition is no longer across the street or in a nearby mall. It could be at the other side of the world. And the thing is that this globalization shift has led to a saturation of brands, products, and stores in every country. And it is in this complex environment that successful companies must go global. Otherwise, it will be difficult for them to survive.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that, Luis. And then the second wave of change that you're discussing is, as you mentioned already, digitalization. So what could you tell us about that?
Well, since the internet began, businesses have spent years experiencing a massive immigration from an economy based on physical and analogical to a one based on the digital. When digitalization, it's no longer necessary to open stores on every street, in every shopping mall, city or town to serve each market and allow customers to access products. With digitalization, we can say retail has gone from being a matter of square meters to being one of our square centimeters, the ones on our smartphone screens.
And actually, as we say in the book, we live in a tele-everything world. As consumers, we expect that we can find anything online with a smartphone, whether nearby or in some distant country, and have it shipped to our home. And digitalization poses three key challenges to our distribution companies. Number one is that all products and services we offer are migrating to the digital world, which is where our customers are and where they ask us to be. We have to be there because they are connected. Number two is that large e-commerce platforms like Amazon, Alibaba have emerged with extensive ranges, changing, as we know, the rules of the game in the retail industry. And number three is that digitalization has reduced dramatically the transaction costs and entry barriers to organizations with disruptive business models, such as what we call in the book digital native vertical brands.
Mm. Yeah, we can definitely say that digitalization has changed a lot, and probably the consumer's behavior as well. Of course, people can read more about that in the book. But let's now move on to the third wave of change, which is socialization. So what does that entail?
Well, I remember when Steve Jobs announced the launch of the iPhone in January 2007. No one could imagine the impact it would have in general and on the business world. But who would spend hundreds of dollars to buy a smartphone when there are already BlackBerries and others on the market that telephone operators were giving away? The new Apple iPhone was changing the rules of the game, impacting the way we deal with technology. The proliferation of smartphones in the hands of consumers and the adoption of new technologies by companies have put immense power into our hands, speeding up transactions and the interactions between people and companies.
We can say that all consumers belong to a single generation. You cannot say that we have millennials, centennials. We all belong to the Generation C. We call in the book Generation C to this new generation that has emerged, where that we all belong to it, and because we all have huge power in our hands. We have the power to create and grow brands or to destroy them. Socialization means accepting that consumers are no longer passive. Instead, they're active, even activists, as we know. And they have the power in their hands to build or destroy brands, as we have said. Our brand is not what we say it is. It is the way our consumers say it is. So a fundamental consequence of socialization is the need for radical transparency of retailers. We must continue to reaffirm our organization's values and principles that guide us at all levels when making decisions.
Yeah, I like what you said about retailers needing to be transparent, and that actually leads to the next and last wave of change in retail, which is sustainability. And to be honest, this is a very interesting topic for me because we've seen in the recent years that a lot of customers are refusing to buy from brands and companies that don't care for their sustainability credentials. So what role does sustainability play in reshaping the retail world?
Well, sustainability is a wave that has taken on a leading role on retailers' agendas in the 2020s. Any company that wants to continue being relevant in the future must now consider a sustainability roadmap. During this decade, there will be enormous pressure to adopt stricter measures that will reduce environmental impact and focus primarily on climate change, biodiversity, and the shortage of resources. We believe that in 2030s, only companies that comply with some rigorous principles on social impact will be relevant and have a future.
And we see that younger consumers especially are defining sustainability as a key element when making purchasing decisions. And, on the organization side, what brands have to do is they have to identify the reason for being and to communicate it, the purpose and the social impact plans they have for supporting the communities of the people they live and they work with. That's very, very important. And we can also say that many retail companies are making their value chains from start to the end more environmentally friendly, socially committed, and ethically responsive, such as setting ambitious goals or creating collaborative relationships with suppliers and other stakeholders. There's an opportunity for sure for companies to reflect on their culture, their own values, what they represent, and to align themselves with social or environmental causes that are consistent with those values. By doing so, they can become models for consumers, young and old, looking to belong to a community of people with like-minded ideas.
Absolutely. We can definitely see that change in consumers' behavior. All right, and then moving on to a very interesting term that you use in the book, which is phygital. So what does that mean and why is it important?
Well, the phygital phase means doing well what was not done correctly with omnichannel. Creating a platform that integrates all channels, physical and digital, with technology as the backbone. Omnichannel failed because of culture, not a strategy. The strategy and the roadmaps were all in place, but the perspective, integrating the new digital assets in the existing physical store platforms, was wrong. Phygital means the true integration of channels, but done right this time. With phygital, the barriers between the physical and the digital relationships with the brand and integrating the physical and online channels into the platform so that they can all become hybrid assets, physical and digital, in which the backbone is digital. This approach involves integrating all the channels into one unified platform that enhances the experience of consumers. Phygital integrates them all through technology, data, customer experience, product mix, metrics, and even profit and loss accounts.
Yeah. Well, decades ago, Dimas and I worked in single channel retail companies. And in those times, the communication to consumers were one way. was one way, okay, from stores to consumers. In the phygital phase, it's a two-way conversation, from stores to consumers and vice versa. To do this, the digital and physical contact points must be combined in a way that provides a richer, a more personalized customer experience. It is convenience phygital because it allows consumers to complete their journey in whichever way is more comfortable for them, accessing the store both online and offline, and it shortens the distance between window shopping and the final purchase. It is autonomous phygital too because opens up multiple channels, allowing the brand to empower their audiences to decide how and where they are going to buy. And finally, it is immersive because it brings the client to the center of the process and the customers are part of the experience themselves. So as you can see, phygital, it's the concept now. It's the way to go for all retailers, but as we can see, it takes a lot of work. You know, we need to work on a number of issues.
Yeah, it does take some work. All right. So earlier on, I read one of the subtitles on the cover of your book, which is The End of Retail as We Know It. But there is one more subtitle that says why physical stores are still the key to the future. And many of our listeners, they might think that in the future we'll have fewer and fewer physical stores. However, you say that they're still the key to the future. So why is that?
When we say that the physical stores will be very important, we not say that all physical stores will survive. We mean that those that upgrade and perform a proper retail resale will do. Actually, last year, in some countries like the USA, more physical stores opened than closed for the first time in several years. This means that the stores are a meaningful and efficient way to increase overall sales and engaging customers over time, without having to invest in the ever-increasing digital marketing cost of customer acquisition.
However, we still see so many old concept stores in commercial streets and shopping centers that are not future-proof. Many of these stores are the same type of stores you could find in 2006, 1997. We can see even brands opening what we can say, new old stores. That is, stores that are just new versions of the typical dump store with just a warehouse and old style processes, no digital integration with website and online platform. So, there's still a lot of work to be done because as we say, the future is physical, but that doesn't mean that all physical stores will survive.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what you just said is very interesting, that many stores, many physical stores, they still live in the past, in the very far away past, more than 25 years ago. But how would you describe the shop of the future? How would it be different from what we know today?
Well, the store of the future is a unique convergence of a number of concepts that have emerged over the past decade. We call it in the book brand experience platforms. They are a mix of the pop-up concepts, the single store experiential retail stores, multi-brand platforms, and obviously all of them phygital. An example of brand experience platforms is WOW Concept, launched in 2022. WOW is a seamless online to offline platform connecting forward-looking brands and people. It is a new generation marketplace, cross-category and content-driven, with physical locations. The first one is in Gran Vía Street in Madrid, but there is a second one signed in Serrano Street, also in Madrid, that is going to open next October. And some more international locations coming up.
Well, WOW and these hybrid phygital platforms are really a capture point for valuable customer data and the monetization of consumer and product interactions. And they're all complemented by offering physical retail as a platform. So in WOW and similar brand experience platforms, we can see brands telling their story without all the implications or expenses of opening their own stores and running their own retail operations. And the customer acquisition cost is much less than investing in digital marketing, for example.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. All right, and then I have one last question for you, and hopefully that will be able to help our listeners today if they're running retail businesses. So as experts in retail, what would be your top three tips for retailers to prepare for the future?
Well, mine would be clearly try to be differential. No matter what you do, if you don't have a truly differential value proposition. Now more than ever, this will make the difference. It would not be solved just with technology. It's the real time for a strategy. The second one would be look for what we call in the book value plus, as opposed to just value. We have to migrate from the territory of solutions, where there are too many competitors, to the world of sensations, where there is much less competition. And third, digital is not optional, it's a must. Some retailers see online as the enemy. It is not. As we have said, customers are all connected. So even the most physical retail companies have to have a digital strategy, as 80% of store customers have bronze online before.
Well, my three tips would be, number one would be talent versus technology. We all experience the scarcity of talent in all industries, but especially in retail. And I would say talent is more important than technology. Number two is processes. Retail is getting more and more complex. And processes are absolutely key once we have defined our strategy. And designing and putting processes in place with the help of the people and technology is absolutely critical in today's retail. And number three, but also very, very important, is company culture. Omnichannel strategies, as Dimas was explaining, were formulated at board and C level. They were sold by consultants, but they failed. Omnichannel is a zombie concept that failed, because if the company culture is hostile to any new strategy, and they don't believe that, these new strategies will not work and implementation will be a failure. As Peter Drucker used to say, culture eats a strategy for breakfast. So that's what happened actually with Omnichannel.
Thank you very much, Dimas and Luis, for sharing those tips. I'm sure they will be very useful for any retailers listening to us today. But of course, I would recommend getting the book as well, because it's full of very useful tips for the future of retail, tips and insights, of course. So thank you very much for joining me today, Dimas and Luis. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Teja, and we hope that all the readers of the book enjoy the book.
Thank you very much, Teja. It's been a pleasure. And I agree with Luis. I hope that all the readers of the book enjoyed as much as we just enjoyed writing.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Lit Business Media on LinkedIn for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. We are now also on TikTok, so make sure you follow us at Lit Publishing. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.